I wonder what this last week has brought for you. Anxiety because of uncertainty? Feeling that the lockdown is more like a lock-up? Or maybe it's brought productivity or hope that things may open up soon? Or maybe it's just been another week where nothing much has happened. However we feel, we've all needed to hear different things to encourage us where we're at. But the challenge and the joy of deciding to follow Jesus remains the same. And that's also true in our text. We've got John, the author of this book, who gives us the inside track on Andrew, his brother Simon Peter, Philip, and Nathaniel, all with different temperaments, all hear different things, but each decides to follow Jesus as they encounter him for the first time. Let's look first at John and Andrew. Verse 35, John the Baptizer's sermon, "Look, the Lamb of God, Israel's sin remover," is apparently clear enough for two of John's disciples to ditch him and decide to follow Jesus. These are Andrew and, in all likelihood, John, the author of this gospel, unnamed. So follow Jesus they do. They walk behind him. That's what following Jesus means. Verse 38, turning around, Jesus saw them following and says, somewhat surprisingly, "What do you want?" If that sounds abrupt, a less wooden translation is perhaps, "What are you seeking?" They reply, "Rabbi, respected teacher." And then you wonder if Andrew and John have fully thought this through. Yes, Rabbi, we were wondering. What were we wondering? We were wondering, oh yes, where are you staying? That's it, where are you staying? Jesus says, intriguingly, "Come and you will see." Jesus is saying, and John, the author's language, have multi-leveled meanings concealed in what is quite simple Greek. Yes, on one level, it's, what are you seeking? Well, where are your digs? Oh, well, come and see. But on the next level, seeking and staying and following and seeing is the explicit language of discipleship. Andrew and John were following Jesus, but apparently seeking the wrong thing. I think Jesus would ask you and I the same question. At this time of lockdown, what are you seeking? Going out again? Certainty? Peace? Stock market bounce back? Jesus says to us too, verse 39, "Come and you will see." Such an important word in John's gospel. That is, you will see spiritual reality. You will be given what you really need during this uncertain time, though not what you think you need. 40 to 41 show that Andrew and John have indeed seen. We have found the Messiah, Israel's King. Whatever you're seeking now, come to Jesus and see. See true spiritual reality. That's Andrew and John. Then Andrew, usually timid, comes bounding towards his brother, Simon. Excited, he grabs his arm and he brings him to Jesus. Each time we come across Andrew in this gospel, he's bringing someone to Jesus. And that's a great lesson for us. Never be afraid to share your faith with a friend or with a close relative, even on Zoom, because they're the ones who know you and have reason to trust you. They know you're relatively normal. Tell them about the Jesus that you've encountered, the difference that he makes in the way that you see the world. You know, God only needs a handful of preachers in a church context but he always needs more people who can invite and can bring others. Because that's how discipleship happens. You see, John the Baptizer tells Andrew and John. Andrew tells Simon Peter. Verse 43 probably implies that Andrew brings Philip to Jesus and Philip brings Nathaniel. The power of bringing people. And what's the first thing that Jesus says? Is it, "Hi Simon, I'm Jesus"? No, he looks him in the eye and he says, "You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas." He changes his identity. Rabbis in Jesus' day sometimes gave nicknames to their disciples to indicate their special calling. Now, Cephas was an odd name. It's Aramaic, the language that Hebrew morphed into, for rock. And its Greek equivalent was Petros, from which we get Peter. Simon, you'll now be the rock. You'll be rocky. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus knows that before him stands a man with rock-like qualities, strength of character, and future leadership. But he also knows that Cephas will be impulsive and deny him three times. Yet one day, Jesus will still say to him, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Cue the book of Acts. For us too, Jesus first receives us with all our qualities and our flaws, our enthusiasms and our inconsistencies. And he calls us to be what he will one day make us. And like Cephas, even through lockdown, Jesus wants to change your identity. And there is no identity for your life better than the one Jesus gives you. He says to you today, "You will be called." So that's Peter. The next encounter is Philip, which involves, verse 43, all of two words: follow me. That's what discipleship is, following Jesus. Maybe you've overcomplicated things in your faith and want answers to every conceivable question before you will trust Jesus. But there comes a point when you have to nail your colours to the mast and just do a Philip. You have to say, "Yes, Jesus, you've asked me to follow you. I will follow you from today. Even though I can't explain all things, even though I can't explain where coronavirus fits in with your plans." This is a direct challenge to someone this morning. Jesus says to you, "Follow me." And "follow me" is apparently enough for Philip to find Nathanael and to say, verse 45, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. And we know where he's from and we know who his family is. Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Philip is excited. Well, does Nathanael, elsewhere called Bartholomew, does he share Philip's enthusiasm? At first, no. He's openly cynical. Verse 46, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Of course, John the author is obscuring Jesus' origins. He's never called Jesus the Bethlehemite with all its royal Davidic overtones. He's Jesus of Nazareth. If you know your Old Testament, not a very messianic town. Nathanael was from Cana, Nazareth's Galilean rival. And just as Galileans were despised as northerners down south in Judea, so Galileans despised Nazareth, perhaps because it hosted a Roman garrison. I suppose it's a bit like people from England making jokes about Ireland, but people from Ireland making jokes about those from County Kerry in Ireland's southwest. "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathanael says to Philip, who, ever the inviter, replies, "Come and see." Well, Nathaniel may be a skeptic, but he's an open skeptic. He does come and he does see. And the first thing that Jesus says, knowing his hometown has been slagged off, despite being out of earshot, is verse 47, "You are a man without deceit, without guile." You see, Jesus knows two kinds of things about Nathaniel. He knows what's going on inside, and he knows what's going on outside. "You are a man without deceit" is the truth about the inside. And there's a wink here in the direction of the name Jacob, Yaakov, deceiver, and that odd business about the ladder to heaven in Genesis 28. And so it's as if Jesus is saying of Nathaniel, look, it's Israel without the deceit. Jesus knows Nathaniel on the inside, even before he'd met him. Nathaniel, however, pushes back and says, 48, "Do you think you know me?" Well, Jesus did know the inside and the out. Jesus sees. He sees all things. "While you were out of my sight, I saw you. You were under a fig tree when Philip found you." That's the truth about the outside. We can't be sure why the fig tree is significant. Had he done something terrible under the fig tree? Was he being lazy, having a kip? Was he dreaming about a Jacob's ladder? Whatever the significance, Nathanael knew that Jesus knew. Because Jesus knows Nathanael inside and out. So Nathanael, astonished, cynicism gone, says, 49, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Two more messianic titles. It is a wonderful thing that Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Israel, knows our condition inside and out. Whatever you're experiencing during this lockdown, whether you feel alone or anxious or in trouble or that no one knows what's happening, Jesus knows. You will never be in a situation where Jesus is not fully aware of what is going on in your life. But for those who believe, who put their trust in him, verse 50, "You shall see," that word again, "greater things than this. Heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Jacob's ladder from Genesis 28 again. "You are promised a heaven-sent confirmation that the one you have acknowledged as the Messiah has indeed been appointed by God." As disciples today, we do need to see this Jesus, who gives us spiritual sight, who changes our identity, who calls us to follow him, and who knows us inside and out. We do need to see him too, as God's chosen King. It's fair to say that Jesus in these verses is acting as a huge magnet, drawing disciples to himself. That was true then. It is true now. We too all come with different personalities, different temperaments, different needs. But Jesus meets us where we're at, encouraging us at this uncertain time. He encourages us with the exact thing that we need to hear. What do you need to hear this morning? Is it, "What are you seeking?" Is it, "You will be called?" Is it, "Follow me?" Is it, "I know you inside and out?" What is Jesus saying to you this morning?